chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. But ye have not so learned Christ, verse 20. That was the verse that we were looking at last week. We've learned to walk in the sunlight. Jesus Christ is the light, light of the world. We've learned to walk in that light. Not as we did when we were unsaved. But what have we learned about walking in the light? Well, the ways of the unsaved, and the way our way as an unsaved individual was in the ways of darkness. It was not in light, but in darkness. We're not to walk that way anymore. We've not so learned Christ. Today we're ready for verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him. Have you heard him? And been taught by him. Have you been taught by him? As the truth is in Jesus. Have you been taught the truth? Have you heard him? Have you been taught by him? As the truth is in Jesus. If we have learned Christ, if we have heard him, if we have been taught by him, now, obviously, we've not heard and been taught by him personally, physically, but yes, we have been taught, heard him, and taught by him personally. That's on a personal level, but it's not, here stands Jesus teaching me, instructing me, but he has taught me, and I have heard him. And I continue to receive of his teachings and continue to hear him. So we've not directly, as we would say, man to man, heard him and been taught by him. But we have been taught by him. We have heard him by his Spirit. By his Spirit, which he told the first church, his apostles, his 11 apostles, Judas already having departed, that he was sending to them another comforter. In other words, Jesus was a comforter when he was walking here with them, but he was going to leave and he was going to send them another comforter. And then the 16th chapter of John tells us that the Spirit was the Spirit, his Spirit was the Spirit of truth and would teach us and lead us into all truth. So we've heard the teaching of the Spirit, been taught by the Spirit and through the church. If we And this is in keeping with this context here. It's what he's telling the Ephesian church. You've been saved. You're in the church, the Ephesian church. And you have learned Christ. And you've learned Christ through the Spirit, through the teaching of the Spirit. And it is truth. Spirit doesn't teach anything but truth. Because it witnesses of Jesus Christ. He'd done witness of himself, John 16. But he witnesses of Jesus Christ. Look with me over at the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, and basically when he's starting this letter to the Ephesian church, he said this in verse 13 concerning Christ. He said, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in which also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. They heard and were taught the truth, the gospel of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is truth. If it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not truth. It must be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's, so what's the teaching of by works? Well, you got to do this in order to be saved. You got to do so much, your good's got to outweigh your bad. You've got to be baptized to be saved. What's all that do? It's not truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but Jesus Christ. It's not through the waters of baptism. Baptism is glorious and it's right when it's done in truth. But it's not to be ministered upon the unsaved for salvation. It's only to be ministered to those who have received the truth. You see. And that's what he's telling the Ephesians there in that 13th verse. You've received the gospel of truth and the Holy Spirit, which has sealed you until the day of redemption, until the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sealed, we are sure. That's another subject. But turn with me to 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So we're taught the truth, the gospel, by the Holy Spirit of God. And then we're sealed by that Spirit. Look at verse 15 of this third chapter of 1 Timothy. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. So at some point in time, we've received this gospel of truth. The Holy Spirit has taught it to us. We have believed. And therefore, we have been baptized and added on to the church. The responsibility of the church then is to teach how that we ought to behave ourselves as a member of the Lord's church, that we might know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. You want to know how to do that? Well, he gives us a pretty good outline in the preceding verses. And we call them only instructions to pastors and deacons. But this was pastor instructions to, this is instructions to the whole church. You want to know how to behave yourself in the house of God? Follow those directions. Those qualifications, those things that we list only as qualifications for a pastor. They're qualifications for every church member to be striving for in their life. Where's the Lord call men into the ministry? Set them into the pastorate. He calls them from the pew, from those in the church. Those in the church qualified. Those who are meeting these requirements. So there are qualifications for every church member to be striving for in their life. Continue reading this verse. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It's His church. There's no other church. His kind of church. And what are the marks of His kind of church? Well, whether it's teaching His word, whether it's following, is the church outlined in the scriptures. If they're teaching another gospel, it's not the Lord's church. If they're some other kind of organization, it's not the Lord's church. If they're not worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not His church. In the strictest sense. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. It is the truth. Verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. Unto Him be glory in the church. Listen. A saved individual, saved, praise God, he's on his way to heaven. Praise God. Amen. But he cannot honor and glorify God as he ought to honor and glorify God outside of the Lord's church. Furthermore, he can't come to the fullness of the truth outside of the Lord's church. He can come to a lot of truth. But he's missing the truth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ outside of the Lord's church. It's in the church. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. The truth. We uphold the truth. That's where we're taught the truth. The Holy Spirit teaches us the truth as it's taught from the pulpit, as it's preached from the pulpit, as it's taught in Sunday school class, as it's taught by example. The work of the church is, yes, to go out and preach the gospel and get folks saved. You pardon that term, get folks saved. You know what I mean by that? In the sense that we preach the gospel to them, the Holy Spirit quickens them and draws them unto Christ, into Christ. We were instrumental in that. Paul talks about that. He talks about being their father in the faith. He wasn't their physical father, but he was their father in the faith. He was the instrument that God used to preach the gospel to them. The Holy Spirit quickened them. So Paul was their father. Spiritual father. In the faith. And he taught them. And he taught them as a member of one of the Lord's churches. He was a member of the church at Antioch. Sent out by the church at Antioch. You see. So the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And the church is to be teaching the truth. All the truth. Well, let me get on a hobby horse just a minute. You all know I love the doctrines of grace. Amen. But I'll tell you what. Every person that comes to Christ, I believe, and is saved, at the time of that salvation, they're Arminian. That's all they know. They came to Christ. They made a decision. They believed Christ. But as they're taught to be baptized, responsibility of the church,
Teach them, okay, you need to be baptized now. They're baptized. They follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. They come in the church. And then they begin to learn how their salvation came about. And that it was all planned in the council halls of eternity before the foundation of the world. You see? And we begin to teach them the doctrines. But we don't only teach them the doctrines of Christ. We teach them to live holy and righteous lives in Christ Jesus. That's what being taught here to the Ephesians, is it not? Don't walk as unsaved people anymore. That's not what you learned about Christ.
You're to walk as saved individuals, as new creatures in Christ Jesus. The church makes us accountable. You see, it teaches us the ways of Christ and teaches us how that we ought to live and behave and in our deportment. You see. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy. And this is just an example that we're given and that Timothy is given here. In verse 14. In verse 13, he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, even in the Lord's churches. But he said, but continue thou, in verse 14, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Do you know who is instrumental in beginning your teaching? Beginning the process of teaching? Remember that. Remember what you've been taught right from the beginning. In other words, hold on to it, he's telling Timothy. Evil seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceived. But don't you hold on to that which you've been taught, remembering of whom you've learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I thank God for godly father and mother who tried to teach me the truth of the Word of God. And yes, it didn't take hold. As I grew from a child into teenager and into a young adult, yes, I went through what was expected of me. I made a profession of faith about 9 years of age. Became a member of a church, which wasn't a church. And through progress and development, mom and dad having been exposed to the church and truth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that one, the church and everything, and some others in that church broke off from them, and a man led us to get scriptural church authority and organized scripturally and everything, and then we were, a few of them were baptized into that church that was giving us the authority, and then they came with authority to baptize the rest of us that had been so-called members of that other so-called organization. In strictest sense of the word, they were a church, but not of the Lord's. You see. And so, yes, I went through all those motions. And even as I grew up and teaching the teenage class in Sunday school and everything, and leading singing from time to time and everything, and young people's group leading them sometimes. But all as an unsaved man. And one a very nice man. The Lord got hold of me. Praise God. Saved me. Praise God. You see. Changed individual. changed in heart, desires to serve him, but struggle. Struggle with his old flesh and still struggling with it. This old flesh. But praise God, he's worked his grace into me. Worked his grace into my life. I'm not the man I was then. I'm a different individual. But praise God for a godly father and mother. I almost forgot where I was. Praise God for a godly father and mother. Taught me the truths and tried to teach me the truth of the church. And thank God for the pastors that were in that church and teaching, preaching the gospel and teaching, preaching the truth of the Word of God. And you all know what I'm talking about? You've been blessed if you had godly mothers, if you had godly grandparents even, as did Timothy. He had a godly grandmother who tried to teach him the truths, and a godly mother. Now his father was a heathen, was a Gentile, was a Greek. Don't know whether he was saved or not. You see? But at least he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And Paul mentions them in his letter to Timothy. Praise God for those who have taught us the truth, even as an unsaved individual tried to teach us the truth of the Word of God and expose us to the teaching of the truth of the Word of God. And remember them and hold on to that truth that had been taught to you and the truth that since you've been saved and been taught in the Lord's church. Hang on to it. Don't let go of it. Because the truth of Jesus Christ, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every last bit of it is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, we need to love everything we've been taught by the Word of God as a child of God. And that includes the teachers that taught it to us and tried to teach it to us. Thank God for His Holy Spirit. Give us the truth. And yes, it didn't come to us all at once. Just didn't come flooding in. That change of salvation took place in the inward man immediately. But boy, it's been a job crucifying this flesh and getting it behind me. You see, but praise God, I've been able to do that with some things. You know what I'm talking about? If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it. But there's still things that need worked on. I guess that's why that song, "He's Still Working on Me," is such a blessing. Because he hadn't stopped working. He's not going to stop working. He's going to continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God. Philippians 1:6. "He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. He's going to keep on working till the day of completion. When I stand before Him, face to face, complete. I'll be like Him, for I shall see Him as He is. What a day that will be. We have learned the truth. That might be the emphasis of this point. We've been taught. We've heard by Him. We've been taught by Him the truth as it is in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, there's no truth. You understand that? Isn't that what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, the truth. You want truth? It must be in Jesus Christ. If it's not in Jesus Christ, it's not truth. You see. Turn with me to John. And not the 14th chapter. I've quoted, boy, this seems to be the Sunday for John 14:6. I mean, in the morning message and now in the afternoon message. But turn with me to the 17th chapter of John. And another verse that the Lord has showed me and has been precious to me. Verse 17. Jesus here in his high priestly prayer to the Father concerning his people, concerning his church. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Do you understand that verse? Do you understand that verse? Sanctify them through thy what? Truth? Thy word is truth. What is Jesus saying there? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what he's saying. It's clear enough. Well, what is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. What's the word? Jesus Christ is the word. Sanctify them through Jesus Christ, through thy Son. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was that? It was Jesus Christ. Wow. Isn't that glorious? Jesus Christ is truth. So it has to be in Him. Or it's not truth. You see. Look at. Turn back a few pages to chapter 1 of John. I already quoted to you verse 1. And I quoted verse 14. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, which is God, the Son, who created the heavens and the earth, is Jesus Christ, and He's full of grace and truth. What does it mean to be full of? Can you get any more truth in it? Yeah, it's full. You can't put any more in it. He's truth. He's grace. How would God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should. Grace. For by grace are you saved. How did God's grace come to you? In the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is full of grace. He's grace. He's God's grace to us. He's God's grace to this earth. To the world. Now, not all receive it. He came unto his own, but his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He gave them power. They didn't do it in their own power, but he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 of same chapter. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came
by Jesus Christ. And I think it's either the 83rd Psalm or the 84th Psalm talks about grace and truth coming. Grace and truth coming. Prophetic scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Full of grace and truth. Truth then. What's truth? Jesus Christ. Truth is opposed to sin.
What's that do then to those that you hear say, well, it's okay, brother. We all sin.
Jesus Christ didn't sin. He's truth. He's opposed to sin. He knew not sin. It wasn't a part of his nature. It wasn't a part of who he is. What's that say about me? What's that say about you? It says we ought not to sin.
But I love that. I love 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do, knowing that because we're still in this flesh, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's opposed to sin. Truth is opposed to sin. Jesus Christ doesn't like, but he, does that stop him from pleading our case with the Father if we're his, if we're in him? No. If he's given unto us life, if he's been made unto us grace. Yep.
He's there interceding on our behalf with the Father. What a glorious thought that is. Truth teaches us wisdom. Truth teaches us righteousness. Truth teaches us sanctification. Truth teaches us redemption. Does it not? Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 1. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. And things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's why it's through the preaching of the gospel. That's why it's not of ourselves. That no flesh should glory. It's strictly by grace, which is by Christ. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ? Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Listen, if Christ Jesus is all these things, and he is,
and he's in me, and I'm in him, then is not he teaching me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption?
Sure is. Sure is. And if you want more wisdom, what do? Go to him. Go to him and ask.
And we're not talking about wisdom of the things of the world. We're talking about wisdom of spiritual things. Wisdom of the things of the Word of God. Knowing the things of the Word of God and knowing how to apply them and how to apply them to my life.
I need it. I talk to him often on the regards of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding of his word so that I might apply it to my life, so that I might, and as pastor, so that I might apply it all unto you all. And let me tell you, that wisdom, that understanding ain't in me apart from Christ. And I don't know, I've always said as pastor and studying the Word, the hardest part is when you first sit down to study is getting rid of the flesh. Getting the flesh out of the way. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting older and weaker. I find it harder, even, to get the flesh out of the way so that he can begin to teach me things from the Word. I need your prayers. I'm not afraid to ask for them. That's why my name's on the prayer list. I trust you all pray for me daily, often. I need your prayers. But he teaches, the truth teaches us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I continually need to be taught about redemption. Don't you?
Redemption. Redemption is setting us free from the bondage of sin. Why do we want to return into the beggarly elements and return into the things in which we were bondage to? That's the whole premise of this, at least from verse 17 on in Ephesians 4. That we not live as the unsaved. Turn with me to Romans 6. And look with me here at verse 7. For he that is dead. Just to summarize the verses preceding that, we were baptized. We were buried with Christ. We died. What did we die to? Obviously, I'm not dead. You see me? See, I still move my hands. I'm talking to you today. What did I die to? What did you die to? We died in Christ, he said. Well, what did we die to? We were dead in sins and trespasses. We were dead under the things of God. But now we've died to those things. We've died to sin. We're not to live in sin. We've died to it.
So now verse 7.
For he that is dead is freed from sin. We don't have to live a life of sin. We don't have to live in sin. That's what he's saying. We're dead to it. So let's not live in it. Yes, we sin, but we don't have to continue therein.
Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
Ha! Something we couldn't do before. We could not serve righteousness before we died to sin. But now that we're dead to sin, we can serve righteousness. We don't have to sin. We can serve God. We can be pleasing to Him. We're to be vessels that are meet for the Master's use.
We're to be vessels that are pleasing
unto Him. Now that truth teaches us holiness as well. In teaching us redemption, it teaches us about holiness.
Look at verse 19 of the same chapter. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness. Did you see that? As you have in time past, before salvation, when you were dead in sins and trespasses, ye had yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. That's the only thing we know. But now, even so now you're new creature. Now you've died to those things. You died in Christ Jesus. You were buried and you rose again to a newness of life. You're freed from sin. Yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness.
That is our pursuit. Our pursuit is unto holiness. Remember the messages we preached 2 years ago. The series of holiness.
God help me. God help you. But we can yield our members, the servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. Isn't that our desire? Isn't that the desire of the new man that's in us? To be holy as he is holy? Because the new man hates sin. Don't we hate sin? Don't we abhor sin? We hate it. Why do we hate it? Because it's displeasing to God. God hates it. God's angry with sin. So we want to live holy lives unto Him.
And we yield these members. We yield our hands. We yield our feet. We yield our mind. We yield our mouth. We yield our ears. Oh, be careful, little eyes. Oh, be careful, little ears. Oh, be careful, little mouth. Oh, be careful, little hands. Oh, be careful, little... We yield them to, as members of righteousness unto holiness. Let me do holy deeds. Let me go holy places. Let me think holy thoughts. Let me see holy things. Let me hear holy things. Let me speak holy things.
And I'm not a holy roller. I know one day, as I'm holy, I'm going to be completely holy. But I'm not arrived. But that's the desire. And so I'm to yield my members unto Him for that end. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without peace and without holiness, you will not see the Lord.
Now that's talking about an inward holiness that has been made holy in Christ Jesus. In a sense, in Christ Jesus, we've been made perfectly holy. You see? But it takes a constant day after day of yielding these fleshly members unto holiness. You see?
And that's what we're to do. We're to crucify the flesh, yield these members to God for holy deeds and purposes. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. In verse 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. What's godliness? Is it not holiness? And God, is God anything less than holy? And we're to be God-like. And we're to be holy. As He is holy. Acknowledging the truth. Acknowledging of the truth. Praise God. He give me the faith and wherewithal to acknowledge the truth. Praise God, He's made me holy in Christ Jesus. Given me a desire that wants to be holy. Praise God that concerning the works of my members, well, all I can say is they're not what they once were, but they're not what I hope them to be yet. One day. And so, constantly, day by day, as the Lord gives me grace, and as I determine in the inner man to yield these members as members of righteousness unto holiness. Well, next week we'll go on.